South Carolina will beat Clemson next season. My name is Mark Ryan. I approve this message, and you're listening to ESPN Upstate. All kinds of fired up to be here right now. Mark Ryan in for Sturge, 4 to 7 p.m. today. How about it, Greenville? Are you ready to have some fun over the next 3 hours? Your confidence level that Will Muschamp is the guy at South Carolina it for the long term. I want to measure that. Peter Burns, studio host of the SEC Network, joins us at 4:38. There's something catastrophic that could be happening on the college football front. John McClain, actor and reporter, John McClain joins us at 5:38. Why, oh, why would we have a Houston Texans reporter on this show? Aha! Aha! It's called a tease, ladies and gentlemen. And at 6 o'clock, you know him from Monday Night Football. I know him because he's my former co-host. Booger McFarland joins us. What in the world is going on with the Carolina Panthers? We will ask him that question. So much more to get to over the next 3 hours. We welcome my main man, Diesel, in. Diesel, I have not met you yet in person, but it is an honor to work with you, sir.
Well, it sounds like you are all hopped on the national product of the nation of Colombia. So welcome to the show, Mark Ryan.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Diesel. This is 100% natural, baby. 100% natural. No artificial colors or sweeteners have been used in the making of this energy. So I will say this. You know, the phrase hot take is the buzzword in sports radio today, right? I mean, that's what everybody is talking about. Hot take, hot take. Oh, man, that guy's a hot take artist. I'll tell you, at the last station I've worked at, I got kind of hit with that label. But here's the reality. I always believe in a radio show, I owe you, our listeners, two things. One, to work as hard as I can on the show, and I promise you I've done that today. And two, is to be honest with you. Okay, so I don't know how you define a hot take, but these days, anytime someone thinks you're being a shock jock, they bust out with that. Hot take artist. Hot take artist. Well, what is a hot take to you? Is it what I just said? I mean, I define that, you know, as I said, the purpose of a hot take is to stir people up, and it's something that's not actually believed by the speaker. What I just opened up with, that South Carolina will beat Clemson next season, I invite every single one of you, I invite the 1 million people in our listening audience to hook me up to a lie detector right now and tell me if I'm lying. I firmly believe that to be the case. And I'm going to tell you why in 5 minutes, more about Clemson. And I think they've earned a special title of their own. That's coming up 5 minutes from right now. But I believe when I look at this South Carolina-Clemson game coming up next year, and I really paid close attention. I had a feeling I was going to be doing this show on this day, so I paid particular attention to the Palmetto Bowl this year. And I went on Twitter, at M-A-R-C Ryan on air. You can follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate and my producer at Diesel on Radio. I watched the game, and I went on Twitter before the game, and I said, this game is going to be so much more competitive than anybody realizes. South Carolina was a 27.5-point underdog. What a total slap in the face. You do not do the SEC that way. And 28-21 at halftime, I'm thumping my chest. I'm feeling great about myself. And then in the end, as was somewhat predictable, the injuries for South Carolina on the defensive side of the ball over the course of the season just proved way too much. Just proved way too much to overcome. And they succumbed, and even though it was going to look like a close score, 49-35, Dabo decides not to take the knee and runs up another score to make it 56-35 when the game's end. Don't worry, Dabo. Anyone who watched the game realized it was far closer than anyone expected it to be. So why, oh why, would South Carolina have any prayer at all in beating Clemson next year? I mean, after all, Clemson's the it school right now, right? I mean, that so many consecutive playoff appearances, national championships with Deshaun Watson, whom I absolutely love. And we're going to share two stories with you on Deshaun Watson later in the show today that you've never heard before. Okay? Two Deshaun Watson stories coming up. But I believe South Carolina is going to win next year for the following reasons. Number one, Jake Bentley is coming back. And, you know, he's doing what he can. He's flirting with the NFL a little bit, right? If Scarlett Johansson bats her eyelashes at you, you're going to bat your eyelashes back a wee bit, right? I mean, that's only fair, right? The NFL is the Scarlett Johansson of the sports league, so it's cool. But he's coming back. He's going to make that decision. He hasn't yet accomplished what he set out to accomplish at South Carolina. Number two, recruiting is closer than you may realize between these two schools. All right. Last 3 years, South Carolina, per Rivals, has averaged number 19. Clemson has averaged 12th. Last 3 years, that's what you measure. This year's recruiting class, Clemson's doing better. South Carolina has some ground to make up. But what we'll see on the field next year has a lot to do with the last three classes. That's 19 to 12. That's pretty doggone close, if I do say so myself. Number three, the game's at South Carolina. Huge advantage. Those Clemson fans, Death Valley, had to cheer a lot longer than they expected to in the Palmetto Bowl this year. Number four, the team is due. I mean, this is a very, very good rivalry. South Carolina's won five in a row. Clemson has won five in a row. South Carolina is simply due in this rivalry. Number five, I believe Clemson will come into this game bored and overconfident, much like Florida State, despite not having a good record. Still felt like they were going to get the better of Florida this year, having won five in a row. Five wins in a row against your rival has a way to make you think they can't really beat you and that you're going to be complacent. It just has a way of doing that. And then six, South Carolina gets all those injured players back, man. They get every single one of those injured players back. And I'll tell you something else about South Carolina. And I don't even know, Diesel, if I should admit this, but admission is the first step toward recovery. So if I'm going to require a recovered image within the people of Greenville, I might as well start this right now, right? So I have an admission to you, all of Greenville. I, Mark Ryan, am a University of Florida graduate. Oh, my God, get this guy off the air. Oh, my God. How are they doing this to us? They're murdering our ears. I'm a University of Florida graduate. And I was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that South Carolina this season was well on its way to pounding my alma mater into oblivion. 31-14 at the end of the fourth quarter. I mean, at the end of the third quarter, toward the end of the third quarter before the University of Florida went on a furious rally. You know, we talk a lot about best teams versus most deserving teams. South Carolina isn't in the top 25 because, quote unquote, they don't deserve to be. But based on best teams, they are one of the top 25 teams in the country. They have beaten Missouri, who's in the CFP top 25. They've been very competitive. They were very competitive against Texas A&M. And they lost only to teams that you would expect them to lose to in the rankings. South Carolina is a top 25 team. I don't think what I'm saying is especially outlandish here. I mean, why couldn't South Carolina upset the Clemson Tigers next year? Your numbers to chime in on the show, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. If you'd like to get in on the show. I mentioned to you about Clemson, and I really believe that Clemson, you know, what's happening in the NFL is doing as much for Clemson's reputation as anything they're doing in college football. When you know those little taglines that go with certain schools, like Florida and LSU have fought over which school is DBU, like which of those two schools has earned that moniker? Wouldn't you have to say, based on what you're watching in the NFL today, that Clemson is wide receiver you? DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Mike Williams absolutely shredding the NFL. Mike Williams last night, Chargers beat the Chiefs, potentially an AFC championship game. It can't be an AFC championship game preview, my correction. But perhaps the two best teams in the AFC playing last night. San Diego wins in a totally ballsy call to go for two and win the game 29-28 at the end. Mike Williams, three touchdowns and a two-point conversion in that game. I mean, I believe that's doing as much for the brand of Clemson as anything Dabo Swinney is saying or doing. But if you listen to Dabo Swinney nowadays, if you listen to what he's saying, it doesn't really feel like he wants his players to believe that they've reached that they've reached its status. Here's Dabo.
What was your reaction to seeing all those teams from your conference make it into the initial rankings?
We're just glad to have an opportunity at this point to know that we're still in the hunt. But the reality of it is, like, you know, back when I was a player, you know, they had kind of the big time bus, and then they had the Roy bus, the rest of y'all. And you know, it's kind of Alabama and then the rest of y'all. We're just glad to be on the Roy bus right now and to still have a chance.
Yeah, that's cute, and it's funny, and it sells shirts, and I want a Roy Bus shirt, and I want to wear one, but no one's believing that, Dabo. You've arrived. You're the it school. Credit to you for the amazing job you've done. So, let's honor this for a minute. Clemson was at a much lower point than South Carolina was 5 years ago. And Dabo has built a brand and built a culture that so many kids want to be with, that want to be a part of. He's built a culture that so many parents are thrilled to send their kids to. He's built a culture, he's built a brand that is rivaled only by Alabama today in college football. And it puts extra pressure on Will Muschamp. Make no bones about that. I mean, if Dabo can do it at Clemson, and Clemson was in a lower spot than South Carolina when Spurrier was there, believe you me, everyone, every Gamecock fan is saying, we can do the same darn thing. We just have to get the right guy. All of which brings me to my next question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level Will Muschamp is the guy long-term at USC? I'm still getting used to this USC thing. You're going to have to be patient with me on this USC thing. I know you guys are the real USC. I just need a little bit of time. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level Will Muschamp is the guy long-term at USC? My name is Mark Ryan. I am in for Sturge right here on ESPN Upstate. Mark Ryan in for Sturge right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Friday, Greenville. What is going on? It is great to be here, man. This voice sounds different than I'm used to. Perhaps slightly more annoying than I'm used to. Perhaps slightly more hopped up. What did you say I was on, Diesel?
I believe they call it the booger sugar.
I'm telling you, man, no artificial colors or flavors in this energy. Mark Ryan here with you 4 to 7 p.m. today. It is great to be here with you guys. Look, I told you, I owe you two things: to work as hard as I can on the show, to be honest with you. When I was doing this particular segment, when I was prepping this particular segment, my opinion changed. Okay, my opinion on this particular segment changed. And why did my opinion change? Because Will Muschamp was the coach of my alma mater at the University of Florida, and I hated him. And I absolutely hated him. In his first 6 years as a head coach at both Florida and South Carolina, all six of those years, Will's offense did not rank higher than 96th in the nation. The 40-year-old virgin scores more than Will Muschamp's offenses do. And so the reality is, like this year, if you look at this year, hey, a measure of intelligence is knowing what you don't know, right? Some people are never aware of what they know and what they don't know. And there's a measure of intelligence there. We saw it happen with Tony Dungy when his offense was pathetic in Tampa. Then he went to Indianapolis, got out of the way of Peyton Manning, and what do you know? They won a Super Bowl. Will Muschamp, I'm going to be conservative, we're going to be physical, and we're going to run the ball out of big sets all day long. learn from his tricks. Credit, he's improving as a head coach. Isn't it funny that we never really think that head coaches can improve, right? We talk about players improving. We think coaches are what they are, what they're always going to be. But South Carolina is the state that highlights the fact that that's so possible more than anyone else. When Dabo Swinney was hired, a lot of people viewed him as a clown. When Will Muschamp was hired, a lot of people thought South Carolina settled. And lo and behold, he has the second best winning percentage for a South Carolina head football coach of any coach in the last 43 years. And, oh, by the way, he's had more victories in his first 3 years than any South Carolina coach of all time. Spurrier had 21, Will Muschamp now has 22, and a chance to get 23. But let's hearken back, shall we, to the initial reaction to when Will Muschamp was hired. Here's Paul Feinbaum.
What do you think of the move by South Carolina?
I think after 2 months, they could have done and gotten a lot better. I think it's very uninspiring. He was a failure at Florida. I know he got to the Sugar Bowl 1 year, but look what's happened this year at Florida with an offensive mind there. They've completely resurrected a mess. And I just don't think South Carolina thought this one out. I know they wanted Tom Herman. I know they looked hard and probably would have offered Kirby Smart had he not done a bait and switch at the end. I don't mean that in the wrong way. I mean, he got the Georgia job at his alma mater. But to me, Danny and Chris, this is not a very impressive hire.
Yeah, I look at it and I think it's...
All right, so Diesel, your initial reaction to the Will Muschamp hire was...
Like he was better than what they had, certainly. Certainly better than the last year of Spurrier. But my God, I was like, why would you take a shot on Muschamp?
Okay, so Diesel, my philosophy on hires is the same as my philosophy on dating, okay? It's either heck yes or heck no. And if you're not a heck yes, which falls under the not a heck yes response, then it's got to be a heck no, right? I mean, I've always been the same way with dating, right? If I don't feel about a woman, if I feel, are you going to take her out again? It's a heck no, because she deserves better than that, and I deserve better than that, right? And Will Muschamp deserve better than and South Carolina deserve better than and lo and behold, I think they're doing a little bit better than most people thought. 58% wins through 3 years. And look, I understand the preseason prognostications had the Gamecocks as the projected second-place team in the SEC East, tied for second with Florida. They finished in fourth place. 7-5 on the surface is not impressive. But guys, ladies and gentlemen of Greenville, let me tell you, the SEC is so damn good this year. I mean, wait till you get to our bowl segment a little bit later in the show. It's possible the SEC could sweep bowl season this year. Oh, this guy's giving us hot takes again. Promise you, it is very possible that the SEC could sweep bowl season this year. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number. We get to Delvin, who is up first. Delvin, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Great, bud.
Yeah, you talking about Will Muschamp. I agree with you, but it seemed like he took two steps forward and two steps back this year because you saw the improvement each year, but they didn't live up to preseason expectation. But I agree with you. I think he done, given what he got at, given with the talent, given what he was left with when he came here, I think he did a lot, and he can recruit, man, and wait till they get that new operations building built. With their facilities, I think he's going to bring in a lot more recruits. You're going to see some more success on the field for him. But I think from given what he took over, I think he's done a good job.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, Delvin, isn't it so weird? Like, so many times we want to be right, right? I mean, one of our flaws as men, Delvin, is we're so stubborn. We're so stubborn that we insist on being right. We don't even ask for directions. So I started this segment with an agenda in mind, and I wanted to prove, beyond a shadow of a doubt, why Will Muschamp should not be the guy long-term at South Carolina. And the evidence changed my mind. The evidence changed my mind. So I'll ask you, what should, if you're making the call for right now on Will Muschamp, is he your guy long term? What's your confidence level scale of 1 to 10, that Will Muschamp today is the right guy long term? My answer? 6. 6 on a scale of 1 to 10, he is the right guy long term for this team.
And you know, Mark, what's so interesting about that is no matter what the stats say he's the best coach South Carolina has had in their first 3 years, and you still just feel a 6.
Well, okay, that's true, because 7-5 is still 7-5, right? I mean, it's a good 7-5. They're the best 7-5 team in the nation, but that's like saying you won the Biggest Loser. What have you won, really, right? I mean, so I don't really know what to I think my belief is that he's recruiting well. My belief is that he's improving as a coach. He's being less stubborn and less conservative because he has to on the offensive side of the ball. CoachesHotSeat.com has Muschamp in the edge of the hot seat category. Among 130 head coaches, they have him 38th in terms of hot seat. Okay, and again, I hated him at UF. I hated him. It drove me nuts. I was pleading on the air in Tampa, Florida for them to fire this guy. But should the Gamecocks fire him, keep him, or get him help? Have we seen enough to make a decision, a definitive decision, on Will Muschamp? Let's get to Kevin, who's up next. Hey, Kevin, you're on ESPN Upstate. Go ahead, bud.
As far as the whole – in South Carolina, you thinking South Carolina's going to be Clemson next year? I completely think you have lost your mind.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
At least
Why?
He's an honest man.
It must be that Colombian stuff that that Diesel was talking about earlier.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's rubbed off on you, with you being a SEC fan and all that, which ain't no big deal. I'm not saying it in a mean way. I just don't think that Will Muschamp has got the right coordinators around him to make what he wants to do flourish. That's what Dabo Swinney done a few years ago by going out and getting Brent Venables and going out and getting Chad Morrison to help him. And I believe that's what Will Muschamp's going to have to do before he can take that next step as far as being a head coach. As far as on the defensive side, he's a great defensive-minded coach. He's an outstanding recruiter. I mean, just look at some of the recruits he had come in down in Florida. But until Trevor Lawrence leaves, I don't see.
Kevin, I got news for you, okay? It was 28-21 at halftime. Will Muschamp had Diesel and I playing in the secondary in that game. Okay, I don't know if you saw it. I was getting burned left and right. All right? But listen, you're calling me an SEC fan. Just because Clemson plays in the All Cupcakes Conference doesn't mean you need to say such hurtful words to me. Did we lose? Okay. Kevin dropped. Okay. I appreciate the call, Kevin. South Carolina will beat Clemson next year. And I'll tell you what, I'll put a beer on it if they don't. How about that? I'll put a beer on it if they don't win. You and me, Kevin, you and me. A good old beer on the line. South Carolina's going to upset Clemson. I won't even ask you for the points. I'm that confident.
I think where Kevin is that there, given the evidence that's there, given the pieces that are there, that's talking players, coaches, coordinators, everything, Clemson is just better at every single phase of college football than South Carolina right now.
It's 19-12 last 3 years in recruiting. I believe by next year, all of the departures from Clemson on the lines is going to catch up to them. They're going to be overconfident. South Carolina is going to improve. Home game, they don't face what South Carolina faces. Will Muschamp said that this year, that Clemson doesn't face what South Carolina faces week in and week out. It might have been a different game this year at South Carolina. And again, South Carolina had you and I starting in the defensive backfield, Diesel. I mean, it was a joke back there. Are you kidding me? So anyway, a lot more to get to on this particular topic. I believe that Will Muschamp deserves more time. But up next, we are going to be joined by Peter Burns, who is the lead SEC Network studio host. We'll ask him about something that, in my opinion, could be catastrophic for college football if it's left unchained. My name is Mark Ryan, perhaps a little unchained myself, in for Sturge, right here on ESPN Upstate. Man, I'll tell you, the tease for this topic, this particular segment was, we'll ask Peter Burns something that, in my opinion, could be catastrophic for college football if it's left unchained. And that, for me, is all of this bogus playoff expansion talk, man. I mean, dear God, I'm so scared that the sport that I hold nearest and dearest to my heart is on the verge of being irreparably damaged. Nobody wants this to be college basketball. Nobody cares about college basketball. In every single place that I've hosted, college basketball, at best, is a one-month sport now, and it's because of how they ruined the regular season by rendering it meaningless. You render it meaningless by increasing the size of your playoff. When does it end? With four teams, every game matters. Every single game matters, and you're getting the elite of the elite of the elite. And please raise your hand, ladies and gentlemen, if there's ever been a year since the playoff began where you were thinking to yourself after it was all done, you know what, I bet that number five team could have won it. Never. You've never said that. None of you have ever said that. Peter Burns joins us right now. He is the lead studio host for the SEC Network, does a fantastic job. Peter, I'm terrified about this, you know, and I think I'm going to wake up. We're going to have March Madness and the regular season would be meaningless. Peter, please say it ain't so.
Let's have 64 teams in the college football playoff.
No!
Let's just get into that point, right?
No!
Like let's just let five lost teams get in. Listen, there was no doubt, right? Like, we're laughing about this because there was no doubt once the Big Ten got left out again, once the Pac-12 didn't have a team that was good enough to get in once again this year, that you knew people were going to complain. And now the thing that's funny to me is how, you know, when I'm with you, man. I was saying amen. I was going to church with everything you just had to say because you're spot on.
All right.
I believe the regular season should mean something. And when you expand it, all of a sudden, Iowa, you know, Purdue beating Ohio State by 29, that's just a footnote. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I completely agree and understand that. So, you know, for me, gentle change. If you want me to change in anything I do in my life, Peter, if you want me to do something different, I encourage everyone to do it gently, right? Gentle change would be a six-team playoff, okay? Six-team, Georgia gets in, Ohio State gets in. Okay, could either of those teams? Okay, Georgia could potentially beat Alabama. So we have a first-round bye for 1-2, a nice reward. We have a six-team playoff. UCF doesn't belong sniffing the college football. Are you kidding me? Down 17 points to Memphis? We're going to do this because UCF doesn't get a chance? Peter, look, I don't even have a second question on this. It just bears further commentary.
I mean, the thing is when you get down to it, and I want college football Saturdays, whether you're going to a Clemson game or whether you're going to a South Carolina game. I want, when you walk into that stadium at Death Valley or Williams-Brice, I want that game to mean something, right? I want there to be nervousness when Chase Bryce has to take snaps for Clemson because Kelly Bryant has transferred and Trevor Lawrence is knocked out of the game, right? Like, there needs to be ramifications to the regular season. If there isn't, then I think you move closer to the NFL. If I want to see a mediocre team get into the playoffs and get hot at the right time and win it, that's great. I'll watch football on Sundays in the NFL. But to me, what's made Saturdays down south so important in part of the fabric of this SEC-ACC footprint in down south is when I show up on Saturday, any Saturday could be the entire season on the line. That's not the case on Sundays. And if when it expands, because it's expanding, there's no doubt. I just hope it's not until 2026 when the college football playoff goes away, or at least the new contract kicks in. I'm hoping that they kick it at four. If they do, at least give me six. I could stomach that.
Peter Burns, lead studio host for the SEC Network, joining us here on ESPN Upstate. Mark Ryan in for Sturge. South Carolina's season, Peter, in my opinion, has to be considered a mild disappointment. They were the preseason second-place team in the SEC East. I mean, I know that doesn't mean much, but people thought they would be better than fourth. They finished 7-5, 4-4 in league play. Other than injuries, which every team faces, what went wrong, in your opinion, in Columbia?
I think what's going wrong in Columbia right now is what's going right at Clemson. okay? And what I mean by that is, listen, back in the day when Spurrier had that thing running, Clemson was a good team but not a great team, right, throughout those years. And South Carolina could say, hey, listen, we're the shiny new object. Come down here. We've got it rolling. We got Coach Spurrier. We're ready to rock and roll. Now that Dabo has built this thing into one of the one percenters of college football, as far as you look at the fan base, the facilities and whatnot, getting those athletes in that little 4-hour, 5-hour home state ratio or home state area, Mark, it's night and day different. And Will has done, I think, a fantastic job of finding underperforming teams and having them overperform. I think that we've gotten spoiled with that watching South Carolina, because in the last 2 years, they've outperformed what I thought the talent on the field was. This year, again, I think it was an injury situation, especially with Bentley not being 100%. I think for him, he tried to fight through the leg injury, and that's one of the reasons why he looked a little sloppier than he did. So that's why this game, the Belk Bowl against Virginia, I think is huge, because while a disappointing season, you get the bowl practices, and you can really start the uptick of next year if you get a W. You lose to Virginia, and all of a sudden, if you thought it was a disappointing season right now in Columbia, it gets even worse going into the offseason.
If you have a 1 to 10 confidence meter on whether Will Muschamp is the right guy in Columbia long term, how do you assess that today, Peter?
9.8.
Wow, 9.7. Really? Wow.
I'm being serious, because I believe that Will does more. I think Dan Mullen did a great job in Mississippi State doing a lot, making a lot out of a little. And I'm not saying South Carolina has a little. They obviously, Ryan Edwards, Debo Samuel, even Jake Bentley, A.J. Turner, all those guys, you know, they've got Hayden Hurst back in the day. They have talent, but in order to compete now in the SEC, you have to have that upper-level talent. Can Will get there? Yes. Can he coach this team defensively? And will that keep you in ball games? Absolutely. So I don't have a doubt, because I look at it the same situation, Mark, as Auburn right now. All right, so if Auburn wants to get rid of Gus Malzahn, that's fine and dandy. But who in the world is going to take that job that's going to do better?
Exactly.
Like what is the next step? I just don't see that. I think Will Muschamp is the guy there. I just think that it's going to get overshadowed right now of what's happening just down the road at Clemson.
And, of course, Clemson's getting ready for Notre Dame. Huge spread on both of the playoff games. Was kind of shocked by that. I do lean Clemson in this one, Peter, but I think Notre Dame just I remember. You are the guy that's been killing Notre Dame all year long, Peter. So I've got you on the line with me. I take it you don't feel this is going to be a competitive game. Why is it that you feel Notre Dame is the national fraud?
Remember National Fraud, I love that line. Remember in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation when Cousin Eddie just shows up and Clark Griswold goes, you know what, Eddie? I couldn't have been more surprised if I'd have woken up and my head sewn to the carpet. That's what I'll be saying if Notre Dame wins this game. Listen, I think Clemson is right there with Alabama as far as the complete teams when they're playing well. I think the decision to go to Trevor Lawrence was the right one for Dabo, albeit a hard one. And I just seen a Notre Dame team that barely got by Ball State, barely got by a mediocre Vandy team, struggled against a Southern Cal team that was left for dead late in the season. Ian Book's a nice story, and Clemson has given up some good big games to quarterbacks. I mean, look at what Bentley was able to do in Kellen Mond in the A&M game. However, I just think that Clemson has just too much firepower. I think Notre Dame is a great team if this was a college football playoff in 1995. I think that's the way they're built. But in 2018, the game has changed. It's the Oklahomas, it's the Alabamas, it's the Clemsons of the world. Notre Dame's a nice story, but they should get mauled by Clemson by at least 3 touchdowns.
Wow, you heard it here first. Peter Burns, SEC Network. About 90 seconds left, Peter. 2 rapid-fire questions. Most interesting call you've taken on Paul Feinbaum?
Golly, I've actually had people call while they were in, not their first call out of jail, but basically just saying that they were on the way to bail somebody out, but they wanted to get my thoughts on, like, the backup running back position at Alabama. So, yes, it always is different when you host for Paul. You never have any idea what's going to happen.
And more intimidating interview when angry, Muschamp or Saban?
Zero doubt, Saban. I mean, like,
really?
Muschamp is yeah, Muschamp will get after it, but then afterwards he'll look at you and he'll kind of wink or smile. And like, once he calms down, with Nick, there is, you're just uncomfortable. Like, you're just, there's no, like, we're big, I'm a big golfer. Saban's a big golfer. I've been in situations where I'm kind of a private outing and I'm like, hey, you know, we're just talking golf. And he just looks at me like right through me, like, I don't want to talk golf with you, you idiot. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. That's just brutal. So, yeah, there's no doubt that that Nick Saban is the more intimidating. And I'll be honest with you, I truly believe that's why Alabama gets calls. Not because there's some conspiracy theory for Alabama. I just think when it comes down to it, umpires and line judges and referees are deathly afraid of going against Nick Saban. And you know what? Having worked with Saban, I don't blame them.
You can sign up to compete against Peter in the ESPN Bowl Pick'em Bet Challenge. I've been seeing that on social media, Peter. Want to invite our listeners to do that. I'm going to do that, Peter. If you beat me, Peter, name your price. If I beat you, I get to come on your show sometime in 2019. What do you say?
Zero doubt about that. I mean, my show gets a lot better as far as talent when you host it or come on and instead of me. So how about this? We'll do Chick-fil-A, and you have to buy it late on a Saturday because I'm going to want it on a Sunday. So you'll have to have it, like, prepared for me on a Sunday and home deliver it.
All I'm going to say, Peter, is block that segment out for me right now. I'm coming for you, guy. I'm coming for you, buddy.
Let's go. All right.
Peter Burns is the lead studio host for the SEC Network. Peter, my friend, thanks so much for making the time.
See you, bud.
All right. Up next, we play a little game we call What's the Scenario, where you are presented with real-life scenarios that you have to make the tough choices on. There's one in particular that might involve your love life. My name is Mark Ryan. I'm in for Sturge right here on ESPN Upstate. Mark Ryan in for Sturge right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Friday, one and all. Hope you guys are doing outstanding here in Greenville today. You can follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Follow my producer at Diesel on Radio. And yours truly, in for Sturge. My name is Mark Ryan at M-A-R-C. Ryan on air. You can also get to us via the phone lines, 844-GSP ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. What's the scenario? Well, we present you with scenarios. We want your thoughts. We want your opinions on how you would, what decision you would make, and these scenarios that life often presents you. What's the Scenario starts now. All right, so we started off with my scenario, and I'll tell you what, my scenario is surely an interesting one, okay? It's a very, very interesting one indeed. Here is my scenario for you today, Diesel, okay? Here is my scenario. You have been told, your friend is trying to set you up on a blind date, okay? Cool. Blind date, single guy. I have no idea, Diesel, whether you're single or taken, but let's just assume for a moment that you're single. Your friend, your boy, is setting you up on a blind date. Here's all you know. The girl's cute and she's nice, okay? She's both cute and nice. Here's the catch. So you're saying, what's the problem? Of course I'm going on this blind date. Aha! Here is the issue. The date is at a football game. On the road for you, you're traveling, and she happens to be a fan of your rival. Okay, so you're South Carolina, she's Clemson. You're Carolina, she's Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh.
One of the two. So therein lies the scenario for what's the scenario that I'm presenting. Should I stay or should I go? What do you say?
I've actually been put in that very scenario before when Appalachian State was in the Southern Conference. I was put into the position to potentially date a Furman girl, and I had to tell her no.
Are you kidding me? You've actually done that, and you actually said no?
I said no. I couldn't
really?
Do it.
Really?
I couldn't do it.
Are you kidding me?
Do you recall the Never Graduate commercials that ESPN aired years ago? Guy jumped out of a moving car because he didn't want to date an Ohio State girl.
Okay, but what's your current status?
I am dating but not married.
You're dating but not married. Okay, see, but how do you know that this particular woman isn't the one? How do you know that? Yeah, I mean, are you so you're just saying anyone that went to Furman couldn't possibly be the one for me? Is that what you're willing
well,
to say?
Well, the fun thing, I have matured, believe it or not, and I am currently dating a Furman girl.
Oh, so you've pulled a Will Muschamp. You've realized what you didn't know, and you've made amends for it.
But the thing is, we're not in the same conference anymore, so it's okay.
Does she know this story?
Yes, she does.
Really? What does she think of it? Thankfully, you ditched that girl.
Yeah,
she
says,
right?
She said, thank God you're not that kind of a jerk anymore.
That's tremendous, man. By the way, I'm going on the date. I'm going on the date because you never know when you could meet that one, that right person, that best person for you. Okay? And yes, there'll be some fights in the household, right? We'll have to see if we can get over that. All right? But yeah, why is it, though, that there's this doubt that I could ever marry someone who graduated from Florida State? Why is there this doubt that I could ever marry someone who graduated from Tennessee? Now, that doubt exists, but I'm still going on the date. What's your scenario, Diesel?
My scenario is your dog is sick. Your dog needs an operation. Your kids would be devastated if the dog was no longer with you. However, you have tickets to the national championship game in Santa Clara. Just so happens to be that the dog's operation is almost the exact same price as the tickets that you've already paid for. Are you going to the game, or are you telling little Sally and little Timmy that they're never going to see Fluffy again?
Let's hit Greenville with about 10 seconds of dead air while I figure this out, okay? 10 seconds of dead air. Ready, go.
Whew.
No. Okay, I'm skipping the national championship game, man.
Oh,
I can't do that.
What a good father.
Listen, I can't do it, man. I can't do it. It would pain me. But see, it's an event. It's not a person, right? I'm going on the date. I'm skipping the event. We are a product of our experiences, and I want that experience, but not at the expense of a family member, man. And truth be told, I would choose dogs' lives over many humans. Okay, so I'm taking care of my dog. How about you?
You know, I'm going to the game. I love experience. That's an experience that's going to last me for the rest of my life. Going to the game.
Goodbye, four-legged friend.
Goodbye, Fido.
Man, you and I aren't getting along on anything today. What's going on here, Diesel? I don't know, man. I don't know. Tough one for your dog. All right, up next. I love the person. I absolutely loathe what he's doing. I'll explain next. Mark Ryan in for Sturge on ESPN Upstate.